Are you living a life that feels good? Could it be better? Welcome to the Pursuit of You podcast. I'm Jocelyn Kate. What does it mean to be in the pursuit of you? Identifying and validating your own feelings, communicating them in healthy ways, and building a network of people who will love and respect you in all the ways you deserve so you can experience ultimate happiness through emotional connection. Welcome to episode 4 of the Pursuit of You podcast. In this episode, I want to talk about balancing your feelings versus suppressing them. Maintaining healthy relationships within our care communities requires balancing their feelings with our own, and showing people that we respect them and want to be a good experience for them, or that we want to add to their quality of life, requires empathy and therefore balance. So, for example, if you're planning dinner and drinks with a friend and you want to try a new restaurant, but you know that your friend doesn't like being around big crowds, you might skip asking them to go during the grand opening. So you're empathizing with their feelings of not liking to be around big crowds and recognizing that there will likely be a big crowd at that place at that time. So for your dinner and drinks weekend, you may not even bring up the new restaurant. Not even bringing it up and simply waiting for a better weekend to invite them is another means of empathizing with them, where we don't want our friends to feel guilty or self-conscious about having to deny going to the restaurant that we have suggested. So we avoid having to put them in the position to say no. Choosing a restaurant may not seem like a significant example of suppressing our own feelings, because you might think that it's just dinner and it's not a big deal. But what happens when we get into the habit of avoiding expressing our own desires to protect somebody else's peace? It's nice to protect your friend's peace in that moment, but then who's protecting your peace? It's okay to ask yourself that. It's okay to ask yourself, who's protecting my peace right now? When we find ourselves protecting others' peace in a self-sacrificial way, we can end up feeling drained and taken advantage of. And then the people who drained us, who we were protecting, aren't even aware. They aren't even aware that we were protecting their peace and we were serving as goalie of their net. It can become confusing because our efforts seem like they don't even exist when our friends and people in our care communities don't recognize that we were protecting their peace or that we were being self-sacrificial for them. It can feel like our efforts are invisible and that we're invisible. And then it'll feel like we're not getting an equal amount or enough protection and reciprocation of peace protecting. So when we choose to genuinely and authentically express our feelings and needs and desires, we can accomplish 3 things. We validate ourselves and take an initial stand in protecting our own peace, setting the foundation for stable communication, whether it's agreeable or adversarial, because within our care communities, we can get through either. We demonstrate to our friends or communication partners that our own feelings and needs and desires require consideration all the time, and we take back control of our own self-worth. The desire to have others protect your peace is human. We're communal beings, and we want confirmation that we matter to other people, but that confirmation has to be mutual in order for it to fill the void that we have. When we watch to see who's considering our peace, and we consider others' peace without them knowing, it becomes a kind of litmus test to our own self-worth, and that often results in more disappointment than success, because where we get our self-worth should be internal. And the reason that it results in more disappointment than success is not because people are bad or selfish or cold or fundamentally uncaring. It's because we're all our own goalies. We're all our own peace goalies. It's not easy to leave our nets without careful coordination of exactly how we can keep our peace protected. Some people willingly leave their nets because they believe that they can exchange protection with other people. And when we coordinate carefully, we can. Others don't like to leave their nets at all. And that can be for selfish reasons, but that can also be because maybe they don't know how. Maybe they haven't been offered coordinated protection. So how can we balance other people's feelings with our own? How can we ensure that we're coordinating protection and peace without suppressing our own feelings? The first thing we need to do is fully communicate our own stories and avoid filling in other people's stories, because communication is the most powerful tool we have in coordinating the facilitation and protection of our peace. Considering someone's feelings means that we're preparing a response that centers on empathy rather than avoiding evoking negative feelings in someone altogether. Allowing natural feelings to arise and then get resolved together in an authentic way deepens the connection between two people. Our wants and needs change all the time, and so do the wants and needs of our care communities. That means their stories may change. Maybe your friend doesn't normally like being around big crowds, but she's going for a new promotion at work, and she feels like stepping outside of her comfort zone might help amp up her confidence. When we give people a chance to solidify their stance or reinvent themselves right in front of us, we communicate that we're safe for fluid communication and that we can adapt. When we take an assertive position for ourselves to protect our own peace, our interactions with others hold less weight. So if our friend doesn't want to consider our needs or can't at that moment for whatever reason, it hurts less. But someone has spoken for us, so we don't feel invisible. We've spoken for us, so we don't feel invisible. So if we ask our friend to go to that restaurant on the grand opening because we think it would be fun, and our friend ends up saying no because they don't want to go and be around big crowds, we won't feel bad, and we'll be able to tell them if they feel self-conscious about having to say no, don't worry about it, it's no big deal. And we can be genuine in that reassurance. Meeting each other in every moment is about using clear communication, and it leaves room for change and evolution. Despite knowing our friend doesn't like the big crowds, if we ask every time anyway, going into the situation with empathy and balance, we let our friend respond with authenticity, and they can take it from there. They get to choose their own story every single time. So if they do need to reinvent themselves, they can do that, and they know that we're a safe place for it. When we keep in mind that someone's answer may be yes or it may be no, because of what we know about them, we can go into the situation with compassion, and it allows us to expand into our story and them to expand into their own. We give our feelings weight and we give their feelings weight. And then if we find that someone in our care community is not working with us and they're not being genuine and authentic and they're not balancing our feelings, we can make a decision about whether or not they're worthy of us. Rather than trying to sort out confusion around whether or not we're worthy or we matter to them, we get to decide if they have participated enough in the relationship to matter to us. Balancing our feelings in a healthy way, rather than suppressing them, allows us to find the right people to participate in our care communities, and it takes the guessing out of understanding how much we matter to other people, because we'll know. We get to communicate it. We can speak about it. So who takes care of balancing rather than suppressing? We'll talk about that in the next episode. Can I speak to the manager?